Information Security and IaaS Governance, Chapter 8, Legal Issues. Legal issues, we have the contents as the cyber law and cyber crime, categories of cyber crime, roles and responsibilities and organizational structure while dealing with cyber crime and cyber law, computer-related offenses and penalty and punishments, some of the critical aspects, worldwide view and a global view of cyber laws. Cyber law and cyber crime. The computer-generated world of internet is known as cyberspace, and the laws prevailing in this area are known as cyber laws, and all the users of this cyberspace or the space comes under the ambit of these laws, as it carries a kind of worldwide jurisdiction. Cyber world is nothing but the internet connected IT world, which was earlier drawn from just the internet security or internet related crimes. But as it's very well connected and it's global in nature, the cyber crime and the cyber law has been kept on focusing on and kept on increasing. The cyber law can also be described as that branch of law that deals with legal issues related to use of inter-networked information technology or internet-related technology. In short, the cyber law is the law governing computers and the internet. Nowadays, it's just not the computers, it is a mobile world, PDAs, laptops, iPads, everyone which is every other device which is connected to internet, and going ahead it might be even the IoT and small devices like so smart watch, smart devices, all are connected to internet, and any law or any legal implications which are following under the ambit of the cyber law for flows through the cyber jurisdiction. Cyber law and cyber crime has been on top of the law investigations and legal investigations agencies. The law enforcement and legal investigation agencies have to keep a critical eye on the futuristic laws and the futuristic technologies which are affecting the cyber world. Not so while ago, all the devices were still connected via 2G or very limited internet connectivity. And with the advent of 4G and 5G, the amount of network sharing between the devices, the interconnectivity between the devices, the use of smartphones, and the explosion of the usage of streaming contents has been increasing altogether. There have been various content and digital content related cyber litigations in the overall world. There are also cases relating to data privacy, like so GDPR in the European Union, which follow under the cyber litigations and have legal impact on various organizations which are operating under the purview of the GDPR. It's just on GDPR, in fact, Indian government has also published a data protection bill, and which is due for approval, and will also incorporate some similar regulatory and legal impact while impacting the privacy of end user. The growth of electronic commerce or e-commerce or websites and e-tailers has propelled the need of vibrant and effective regulatory mechanisms which would further strengthen the legal infrastructure. So crucial to the economic electronic commerce, and all these governing mechanisms and legal structures come within the domain of cyber law. E-commerce, e-tailers, web aggregators of various lines of businesses are all utilizing and exploiting the new age era of intercommunication. Cyber law and cyber crime has been effectively always dealt with the cyber thefts, cyber investigations and cyber crimes, which is being happening on such all platforms. There have been regulatory guidelines put forward by the financial regulators of India, namely the Reserve Bank of India, Insurance Regulatory Development Authority of India, IRDAI, and SEBI. All of these major three financial regulators have put a stress on cyber investigations, cyber laws, and they push on guidelines for having a robust mechanism of governing any cyber crime, any cyber theft in all the financial sector. It's just not the financial sector, but also the government sector that is affected by various cyber crimes. As I said, cyber crime is no more limited to a jurisdiction and now has become a global affair. wherein there are nation-state-sponsored attackers of cyber attackers. Especially with our neighbors like Pakistan and China, which have dedicated cyber armies who are trying to exploit the cyber vulnerabilities on our critical infrastructures, likes of power grid, thermal power plants, nuclear power plants, as well as aviation, air force, as well as commercial airways, everyone. And hence, cyber law is the matter of just not the nation, but also at an international level. And there have been cyber litigations put forward by various European unions and various nation-state sponsored or nation-state affected victims against such attacks and hacks. Cyber law is important because it touches almost all aspects of transactions and activities and which are continuously involving the internet, World Wide Web and cyberspace. Every action and reaction in cyberspace has some legal and cyber legal angles. That's why we have put special focus while we were doing application development, the secure SDLC, to have lot of logs related to every action, every API integration of the user's activity onto the systems. This ensures that there are audit trails in place, the logs are captured, and in case of any cyber litigation or any cyber law, these logs can be put forward as part of evidence. As timestamp is critical to any event and any law uses these timestamp based evidences as legal matter for jurisdiction and for arbitration. Cybercrime, as can be derived from the Information Technology Act, IT Act of India 2000, which has been amended in IT Act as IT Act of India 2008, and the National Cybersecurity Policy of 2013, and there are various regulations, as I mentioned, by the financial regulators, telecom regulators, and other non-financial and non-telecom regulators within India. Cybercrime is a combination of crime and computer. In other words, any offense or crime in which a computer is used is definitely termed as cybercrime. And by computer, I do not mean a desktop workstation. Even a smartphone has a computer, and a computer is nothing but a computing device, which might be put as a legal term for even iPads, iPods, laptops, pads, and other smart devices which have the computing capability and are very well connected to internet or intranet or any other network. The Information Technology Act 2000, amended in 2008, defines a computer, computer network, data, information, and all other necessary ingredients that form part of cyber crime. IT Act of 2008 might be the final document which has been referred by the litigative arbitrations and law cases which has been pushed forward with regards to cyber crime. The categories of cyber crime. The first category falls as cybercrime against persons or against individuals as you and me. Cyber stalking is wherein an individual has been tracked of their online presence on various social media sites likes of Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat, and there are many more such websites. So if a person's privacy or involvement has been reviewed and has been kept a track of by some hacker or someone who is involved in cybercrime, is an activity against that person's individual privacy. If my profile on Facebook or Instagram has been secretively monitored by some hacker for its own cyberstalking techniques and might be downloading my images from internet, then it arises the case of cyberstalking. Cyberstalking also gives rise to cyberbullying, and many times it gives rise to cybercrime. It is a very high rate of crime against women, and the profile images, the image related data theft for such kind of cybercrime is very high against women. Also, children of smaller age, which are not adults, have been forced or have been seen such kind of cyber attacks of cyber stalking and cyber related. Breach of their obscene material or breach of their own privacy. many times it is the persons or the as end user, we are advert to such kind of cyber stalking and we do not report it into the cyber crime. This gives very rise to the cyber attackers or the fraudsters to keep on doing such kind of activity with other individuals. It is therefore very much required that as an individual we take cyber stalking as a cyber crime and we report it back to the law enforcement agencies so that they can take adequate steps and keep a track of such fraudsters and they do not do this activity again and again. Impersonation is another type of cyber crime wherein my personality or my individuality is being used by someone else. We see a lot of fake profiles have been created on social media sites using some other individual's images, and even they steal their names and addresses and various other details. These details are made public by us as individuals for the entire world, and the hacker takes advantage of this publicly available information of my profile or of our profile to impersonate me and create a fake profile of mine. Even such kind of crimes fall under the gamut of cyber crimes, and you should report it into the cyber jurisdiction and cyber law enforcement as a cyber crime against you. Then there is loss of privacy, which is very similar to in the case of data privacy of customers' data, confidential data, financial data and transactional data. Transmission of obscene material, forcibly viewing of obscene material and making sure that this kind of leads into cyberbullying kind of activities is a cyber crime. And harassment with the use of computer just is a very broad term of harassment, but ideally it means cyber harassment, wherein cyberbullying is just one of the activities, but also frequently following up on the various networks, posing obscene comments, obscene reviews, is also a part of cybercrime. The whole nature of this cybercrime against person has been evolved by the evolution of social media networks and social media websites. As we are abusively using these social media sites, so are the cyber fraudsters and cybercrime initiators. Cybercrimes against property. Cybercrime against property use basically targets as unauthorized computer trespassing, computer vandalism. Especially if you don't have authority to use a particular custom computer or a desktop or a workstation or laptop, but you still, there would be, the cybercrime and crimesters or the fraudsters have a profound way of opening up the desktops by trespassing, by using buffer overflow kind of attacks, by kind of using brute force password breaking attacks and using it for their own usage. This basically gives rise to a very advanced level of crime wherein the authorized user of the computer was never involved in a cyber fraud, but its computer was trespassed and vandalized by the use of the cyber fraudster. Transmission of harmful programs like of malware, viruses, worms, trojans are all part of cybercrime against property. Siphoning of funds from financial institutions like banks, capital markets, insurance agencies are all nothing but related to the financial frauds are also cybercrime against property. Stealing secret information that implies to the personally identifiable information, also trade secrets and also patent informations or intellectual property information is also a type of crime against property. Data storage and data theft and data leakages are also categorized as cybercrime against property. Copyright is a critical element when we talk about cybercrime. As a copyright, materials are basically designed and are a creation of one's own intellectual inheritance and intellectual property and should be preserved. Many times copyright infringement cases have land up again in the cyber law, and the law cases are ideally in the media cases or in the music industry. There have been various breaches in the copyright issues. We see a similar fashion of intellectual property theft in the pharmaceutical cases, wherein a lot of drug related trade secrets and drug related intellectual property has been theft by using cyber espionage or using insider threat mechanisms and doing a cyber fraud or a cyber crime. Cyber crime against government. Hacking of government websites. This is very much popular in India because we have seen our beautiful neighbors, both Pakistan and China, hacking a lot of our government websites and, you know, defacing them and posting the images of the, you know, hacking groups. Pakistan especially have special interest groups which are targeting Indian government agencies and Indian government websites to gain popularity and cause a lot of nuisance. They might not affect the day-to-day business of the government. They might not affect the financial losses that might not occur, but they are huge reputation loss, and they have a huge reputation repercussions basically affecting the day-to-day operations of the government websites. Also, the faith in the government is also lost, and this might used to be a starting point of a cyber warfare. Then comes cyber extortion, which has gained recent very popularity due to ransomware kind of attacks, wherein we have seen ransomware has been used to completely encrypt the data of various endpoints of various institutions which involve government agencies, and the government had to pay in bitcoins to different agencies. Thankfully, we have not seen something in India with respect to cyber extortion, but we have seen widely such kind of extortion in the Western European states as well as Eastern European states. Cyber terrorism is a huge cyber crime against all government agencies across the globe. There are state-sponsored cyber terrorist organizations which are running out of various Middle Eastern countries and which are targeting Middle East Asia countries and which are targeting specific key government websites on the same. Then there are the computer viruses which basically give rise to targeted attacks on government institutions, especially of huge importance to the government. Computer viruses here refers to Stuxnet type of malwares which were discovered to be attacked by US to Iran, where Iran was basically trying to develop their nuclear weapons. US based hacking groups and special interest groups might be influenced by the cyber warfare divisions of the Department of Defense in US targeted Stuxnet malware under the for the centrifuge machines and SCADA networks which are used to control the temperatures of the centrifugal machine in the nuclear reactor. Such kind of viruses are very sophisticatedly written and are targeted at specific institutions and specific machinery. Some other crimes include logic bombs, which are used to be kept at the right execution, and which would initiate. Basically, logic bombs are initiated only by user's own consent. They would trigger at the time a certain logic or algorithm is put into action. Then are spamming, which includes mass emailers, email bombing, email abuses, viruses, worms, Trojan horse. Trojan horse is something which is very, very specific as to having, the intent of the business function of the particular malware is never revealed. For example, we would have certain media player downloaded from internet, which is actually playing certain media files on your laptop, but at the back end, it is starting to consume the CPU life cycles of your laptop and might start even encrypting PDF files, Excel files, doc files, and other such kind of files. So the Trojan horse is very, very dangerous because we think that it is a media player, but ultimately it is performing not just the media playing activity but also certain other activities which is not intended to perform. Legal issues in organization, the roles and responsibilities and organization structure. When it comes to cyber legal cases in an organization, the board of directors need to put in place the process to ensure that all the legal risks arising from cyber laws are very well identified and addressed. It's the senior management and the board of directors which must take cyber laws and cyber litigations under strict review and mechanisms, and it should be a joint responsibility of both the Chief Information Security Officer and the Head of Legal Department to technically challenge and address such kind of matters. It is also needed to ensure that the concerned functions are adequately staffed and that human resources are trained. The operational risk group needs to incorporate legal risks as part of operational risk framework and take steps to mitigate the risks involved in consultation with this legal function. Cyber law, cyber crime and cyber related litigations are usually techno legal in nature. They do involve legal angle, which the head of department for legal would be very well aware, and there could be, you know, cyber forensics and digital forensics teams which might be required to conduct certain operations for the same. The operational risk group or the ORG has to set up a legal techno-legal council in place, which comprises of the chief information security officer, the chief forensic officers, as well as the head of legal departments. Other consultants and partners would also be onboarded depending upon the type of the litigation under review. Legal department needs to advise to the business groups on the legal issues arising out of the use of IT. Many times it has been seen the legal department is front-ending for various contracts, agreements and signing of such third-party agreements. As legal team is made aware of cyber fraud and cyber crime related litigative matters, we should also highlight to the chief information security officer or the techno-legal role who would understand the use of such arrangements in the IT, which include like non-disclosure agreements or breach of confidentiality agreements and data protection and data privacy breaches related information flowing from the agreement itself. If the IT department or if any business function is trying to leverage IT functions or websites or something which is related to the IT role then or the cyber world, then the CISO should be kept informed or kept in the loop by the legal department, and they should jointly handle the cyber legal aspect right at the design level of the agreement with such third-party agreements. Computer-related offenses and penalty and punishment. The Information Technology Act 2000, as amended in 2008, exposes the organization to both civil and criminal liability. The civil liability could consist of exposure to pay damages by the way of conception, compensation up to Rs. 5 crore or 5 crores. Before the adjudicating officer and beyond 5 crores in a court of competent jurisdiction. There could also be exposure to criminal liability to the top management of the organizations. And hence, board of directors and independent directors are held liable if there are any exposures to the same. Such kind of exposure could consist of imprisonment for a term which could extend from 3 years to life imprisonment, and also the fine has to be paid in the court of competent jurisdiction. IT Act 2000 and amended in 2008 has seen various changes, and the litigations which have happened around the IT Act has been completely varied from natures and different organizations. It all depends on the type of scenarios in which the investigation has been held, and the IT Act is hence enforced accordingly. Critical aspects of the legal issues are: most risks are sought to be covered by documentation, particularly where the law is silent. The law might not say everything as black and white, and there might be certain cases in which the law does not has any say in it. In such cases, you know, documentation, adequate documentation and the risk mitigation, especially the fraud risks and cyber fraud key risk indicators which have been documented by the organization, come into play. The legal risks need to be incorporated as part of operational risks, and the status needs to be periodically communicated to the top management. A board or risk management committee can be formed in which the legal risks can also be included. Various judicial and quasi-judicial pronouncements and related developments in the cyber laws in India should be considered as part of legal risk mitigation measures. One of the examples would be the Data Protection Bill, which is subject to be becoming a data protection law for India. In such a scenario, it's going to append upon the Information Technology Act amended in 2008 and become a new law for data protection, which implies not only online data but also offline data. In such a scenario, the senior management and the broad or board or the risk management committee should take steps so that the data protection law is referred to and our entire organization is made compliant to all the cyber laws and regulations put forward by the regulators and the government agencies. Talking of the world and cyber laws, globally, there have been a lot of cyber laws and cyber litigations across both US, China, and other countries. The Great Firewall of China monitors every moment in cyberspace and it's intended to protect to publish any offensive content. China has a hold on every content which is harmful or dangerous for the government of China. China has not allowed various social media networking sites like Facebook and Google to host data outside their jurisdiction. Also, the Chinese law agencies monitor every post of social media, and it is very difficult for any content to go unlooked upon or unscrutinized by the cyber police. But the cyber hacking incidents which do happen within China, and there are a lot of darknet and dark related sites which have been completely blocked by the Great Firewall of China, and there is no way that the Chinese cyberspace can go undetected. A single post on a social media networking sites like of WeChat and just a message which was circulated on WeChat can be tracked down by the Chinese cyber police. Whereas Brazil and Russia can be considered as the world's biggest airport for hackers. They use the Russian networks and Brazilian networks. In fact, the hackers might not be in Brazil and Russia, but they would use Brazil and Russian gateways to try to hack into the cyber networks and defense mechanisms. As Iran, Islamic State Republic, being cyber army as a separate unit, which deals into cyber crime, and the cyberspace is continuously monitored for any activity which might lead to internal data proliferation, especially after the Stuxnet attack which happened on the Iran's nuclear website. Since then, they have developed a very stringent cyber army to protect its cyberspace. Overall, it should be the tenacious efforts of governments and lawmakers to ensure that technology grows in a healthy manner and is used for legal, ethical, and business growth, and it should never be used for committing crimes. The cyber laws are basically intended to basically have a clear understanding of what the business aims at and the business grows in the positive way. It should be the duty of all key stakeholders, namely the government, regulators, lawmakers, agents, the internet service providers, banks and other participants of the BFSI sector, and the users, the end users, to take care of information security, playing their respective role within the permitted limitations and ensure obedience with the law of land. Saying so, this is basically the end-to-end cyber visibility and cyber space regulations which require to be viewed from different angles whenever it is required to be addressed to. Thank you.